What's up? Welcome to the Confluence VC podcast. This podcast is meant to give you a personal glimpse into the next era of investors and operators. This week we got on Kirby Porter with New Game Labs. Kirby started her career in venture, been friends with her a while. She's awesome, and she recently switched over to the operating side to launch New Game Labs to help athletes learn, connect, and create in Web3. In this talk, we cover figuring out your why, NIL deals and their impact on college athletics, and layering on community to improve the first version of your offering. All right, before getting started, do you have access to deal flow and investor base, but you want to earn carry for sharing those deals with everybody? If so, have a platform which will make your life better. Thoban is the easiest way to launch deal-by-deal SPVs to run your entire back end. They'll automate all of the infrastructure stuff, whether that is legal, banking, investor onboarding, stuff like that, so you don't have to. You can just focus on finding high-quality deals and building LP relationships. So far, they've already been trusted by top VCs, they've structured 500-plus SPVs, and they've helped those SPVs raise over $1 billion in capital all through their platform. Best part is that they're completely global, and you can fundraise from investors from all across the world. So check them out. Their website is thoban.io. Again, great team. Highly recommend them. And again, that website is www.thoban.io. All right, cool. Now that's taken care of. Let's get back into the pod.
Everyone, welcome to the Confluence podcast. Today we have an old friend who's doing new things. Kirby Porter. She's done everything from working at large Fortune 100 companies to working in venture to now launching her own things. I'll let her speak on her own background. Very impressive African-American leader who's inspiring a lot of folks. So Kirby, maybe tell us like for 2 minutes your background, then we'll dive into some of the things you're doing.
Absolutely. Thank you for having me, guys. Confluence was a huge resource when I joined the VC world and was completely new to it. So it's dope to see how it's grown over time. So my background is as a hooper. I always kind of start with that because I feel like my journey as an athlete has been a lot of the inspiration for the things that I've created since. I played basketball at Harvard and started my career in marketing at PepsiCo. So I was in New York for 2 years in our brand marketing department, spent time on the Mountain Dew brand team, also worked in our sports marketing team and got to lead our NBA partnership, which was a great full circle moment for me as a basketball player. And then after 2 years, I joined the world of venture capital, as mentioned. I joined Will Ventures, was the first marketer to the team, and really enjoyed being able to work alongside the team and think about how marketing applied within the space of startups and innovation and technology, and really helping grow the marketing as we were launching our first fund, which was $50 million focused on the intersection of sports and media and technology and health and wellness. And then most recently, I launched New Game Labs, which is a company focused on helping athletes learn, connect, and create in Web3 through building brands that really enable that. And I would say this evolution to where I am today is also a combination of that career journey I just mentioned, but really my evolution as a creator over those 3 years since graduating. When I first graduated, I found that initial passion for athlete empowerment when Uninterrupted and Boardroom were taking off and started a podcast called Court to Corporate, which was all about highlighting athletes in business. And then when I got into startups and venture capital, kind of saw how that original message intersected with technology and innovation. So it became more about helping athletes understand what technology means for their brands. And I think learning about Web3 was kind of that click for me of understanding how this technology that for me and how I view it is centered around creator empowerment and ownership is a direct map onto athlete empowerment and ownership, especially for this next generation with NIL rule changes happening and there being a whole new world of opportunity in sports.
Sounds good. That's really dope. Your podcast is blowing up. My cousin Bryce Barnes is like hyping it up.
That is so funny. I didn't know Bryce was your cousin. This world is too small.
You're too small. First question before we get into anything else. Do you think you can beat me in playing basketball?
You know, not anymore. I let that one go.
You're not a hooper. You're not a real hooper. A real hooper would never admit defeat.
No, I accept that I'm washed up. I'll get my shots up from time to time, but my days of playing one-on-one are over.
Feel that. Feel that. Yeah. Well, how about you tell us a little bit about New Games Lab? Like, what's the elevator pitch?
Yeah, the elevator pitch, I can probably do it quicker than 60 seconds. The goal is to build brands that empower athletes in Web3. And I really think the core of it is helping athletes understand how technology is going to further their brands moving forward and position them for success with the right education, content, and community. And so that kind of leads to the first project for New Game Labs that I can dive into later, which is called Players, where essentially I view it as creating a suite of resources and tools that can help athletes understand, one, what the creator economy is, where it's going, and then how they can position themselves to participate in it. I think a lot of the focus with NIL, and maybe a lot of the listeners that follow Confluence aren't within the world of sports and are just now hearing about NIL. With NIL, a lot of the focus early on has been on helping athletes maximize their influence through partnerships and endorsement deals and social media posts and brand sponsorships. And as someone that had been studying the creator economy and was a creator myself, I was like, this feels so disjointed from where the world is going and how we live in this era now where creators outside of sports have already noticed the imbalance of power and being reliant on brand deals and have taken their power back and evolved us to this new model where creators are digital entrepreneurs themselves. And so with Players, the goal is really to help athletes see their potential in a new light and start, you know, building their own ish.
That's dope. Yeah, it's actually pretty similar to how we were thinking about Confluence at first. I would love to, if you can share, at some point you talk about like how it works, like if our athlete friends are looking to do business with you, is it like you can come in and be a consultant with them? You'll partner and co-found endeavors with them. Like I see you have a really dope, I see you made a smart move and went with Twitter Spaces versus Clubhouse. Like we built up a huge audience, then got smacked, like crushed. And also see you have a really dope resource library. What's the way to get in line with you?
Yes. What's the way to tap in? I love that question. Well, one, even speaking to my strategy as a creator, speaking to the experience you had with Clubhouse, I view a lot of this as building myself as a case study, right? Like I've always been a creator since I started my first podcast in 2018, and it's evolved in different ways. I've tried different things. I've monetized myself in different ways. And now I've done all this research and this studying, I know where it's going. And so it's like, in order to teach, you have to do, right? And so a lot of it is showing athletes what that playbook looks like by doing it myself. But the way that I'm kind of sharing as I'm going and like leading the trails is by building that like ecosystem of resources. So from things as lightweight from like the newsletter, right? Which is where I really wanted to start so that I could own my audience and I wouldn't have a Clubhouse situation down the line. But really kind of building that up is this is your one-stop shop to understand where the world is going. Right? This is your one-stop shop to future-proof your brand and understand what the creator economy is, what Web3 is, what NFTs are, but not just the what, like why it matters, like why it's going to impact your brand model and how you should be operating as an individual. I think that is also kind of a disconnect right now when we see athletes entering Web3. It's like, skipping steps, you know, getting them to launch their own NFT when it's like, wait a minute. Can we start with setting them up so that they have the knowledge to be self-sovereign and have a brand model that they can really take control of and innovate on as they need to? So newsletter, do a lot of things within the community as well, just in terms of hosting conversations, collaborating with other brands, sharing the stories of other creators and doing that through different forms of storytelling. The resource library, as you mentioned, which is kind of a culmination of what I believe are the best resources to guide athletes on a learning journey from understanding what is the creator economy in the first place? What are these new technologies that are coming to fold? But most importantly, how is that creating a new model for someone like myself? And so that's the resource library. And starting there, right? Really just trying to nail the foundations, get people on board, like, all right, let's switch it up. Let's do something different and really kind of build a community around that, especially within the Web3 community, which I feel like is very collaborative. And then from there, there's a lot of things that you can do in terms of building, you know, digital products and resources and things of that sort. So that's kind of the layer one of building players.
Very,
do you
very
think most of the athletes you're working with, do they get it right away, or is there still like an educational piece that you need to onboard them and make sure everybody is on the same playing field in terms of just making sure they're aware of the problem and how you're solving for it?
Yes, that's a great question. And I think for me, what I realized is, wait, you have to meet people where they are, right? That's marketing 101. That's being a creator 101. You can have an idea of what you want it to be and like what you want to say. But I think in order to help people make that transformation, you have to meet them where they are today. I did not want that to rhyme on purpose, but it just did. And what I mean by that is I could come out swinging and be talking about like NFTs and social tokens, which I actually did today, and all the technology. But I realized very early on, it's the creator economy is, or what it means to be a creator is somewhat of a new concept within this realm, like within this niche realm of sports. And I know that probably sounds crazy because I feel like we talk so much about it within this bubble of VC and startups. But when you talk to athletes, like the first question I get is, what does it mean to be a creator? What are the three ways, Kirby, that I can be a creator? And I feel like when I realized that, the first thing that needs to happen is an update of the model that we're educating athletes to operate on. That's when I was like, okay, I think it's more so bringing them along this journey versus just talking about the technology.
Yeah, that totally makes sense. What are, just out of curiosity, what are you using for tooling in order to put together the resource library, together the newsletter, like a nerd for tools? What other people are using?
Yes. Well, anyone that's listening to this, Clay is a great resource because literally our conversation helped a lot because I was just looking at the growth of Confluence. I was like, oh, wait, this is such a great example of how to organically grow something that's community driven. But I did start with Substack for my newsletter because I've just been using Substack. I was like, don't try to get too cute with it. Just do what you're used to right now and you can upgrade later down the line. So using Substack, I'm a geek for Notion. I be creating all these different tables in Notion all the time. And I think that was like a great starting point for the resource library. Like part of me wanted to, again, make it super complex and create a custom app and all these things. Cause there are some creator tools that help you do that, like Mighty Networks, for example. But I'll just start, like just get it out, create the resource, and people have been loving it. And my podcast tools is I have my Blue Yeti mic and I use Riverside, which I think is a great podcasting tool. Highly recommend. And then also for anyone that wants to convert their podcast to blogs, I recommend Descript. That has been a dope tool. You just drop that audio file in, spins it out in seconds. You can also see the text along with the recording, which I think is key for anyone that's been through that process. So that's kind of my starter pack kit.
Damn, we're using a lot of the same things.
It's exact mirror.
We plug the script to so many other guests in the past. Yeah, you got to check this out. This is crazy value.
We should, at this point, we should just do a round for them. Like, we should do a sample. Kirby, you should do it with us, and we should go get athletes to invest in it as well.
Let's get it. Yeah. Really, like, I posted a story the other day. I was like, Descript is that girl. It's just so clutch. So clutch. So, no, I'm here for that.
Can we talk about the why and what's being left on the table for athletes? Like, how much money are they not capturing? Like, how much are they being robbed?
Right. So, I think the most important thing here is really just brings marketing 101 to the fold and thinking about customer segmentation, because I think we love to talk about athletes as a blanket statement. Athletes are this, and there's one type of athlete that's going to build their brand in this new world. When in reality, I feel like what NIL has already shown us is that there's a divide in the market, right? There's going to be different segments of athletes that are more positioned to sign with an agency versus an athlete that may not have as big as an audience, and an agency may not be the right fit for them. Even within that, I think there is going to be a difference in how athletes build their brands. not every athlete is a creator, right? Some athletes actually just have large audiences because athletes do have influence. They've probably rose to prominence in the sport that they've played, and they're creating content, but they're not content creators, right? Like the likes of us, where they're creating a podcast or they have a newsletter or they're building a brand and community around a certain message. So I think the first thing is accepting that there's nuance in terms of how athletes build their brands. And within that, those different segments have different problems to solve. I think what is most important to me and what I'm thinking about is this tail end of athletes, right? That they see the ones that are signing with the agencies, they see the blueprints that have come before us, like the Stephs and the LeBrons and the KDs of the world, that have succeeded at creating aligned endorsement deals and partnerships where they're able to get equity and they're signing lifetime deals and things of that sort. But understanding that what works for the big dogs isn't going to work. Well, it might work for you, but it's not your best path forward, in my personal opinion. I think these athletes need to understand that there's different ways to monetize your influence and that monetizing your influence shouldn't be about pushing other people's product. It should be about building your brand. And I think that's the money that is being left on the table is that there are a lot of things that have encouraged athletes to think that the first question asked with NIL is like, how do I make money? How do I go get a deal? How do I go get a bag? When the question is, what can I build? That's what athletes should be asking themselves. What can I build that is going to last with me beyond sports? I think that's the question. And that's the difference of money that's being left on the table. If I had that article in front of me, I'm just thinking about the Independent Creator Manifesto that came out at the end of last year. It was like the largest market study of creators conducted. And what was so interesting was like they literally showed the numbers. They were like, this is the audience size that you need to reach on TikTok to make, I don't know, $100,000. And then this is how many paid subscribers you need to make that same amount of money and just the discrepancy of that, right? And how the first model is this old line of thinking where it's about hitting the social media jackpot, getting endorsement deals, and like running that train back again and again. Whereas this new model where everyone is shifting to is something that's centered around ownership. And I think that's my message is ownership is what is going to, building with an ownership mindset is what's going to set your brand up for success.
Yeah, I think it's so interesting with the new NIL laws. It's a new generational mind shift. And then even some that don't have as much to do with NIL, like anyone from Mica with Aku, which I invested in not that long ago, or a big baller brand, you know, a lot of folks will be doing dope things. So getting this education out is key.
Specifically within Web3 and NFTs, what are some interesting applications or use cases you're seeing, especially baking in utility for NFTs you're seeing some athletes try to do right now?
If you don't mind, I'm actually going to go outside of sports and talk about the music industry because I feel like another part of my agenda is switching up what we're studying, switching up how we're educating athletes, and just showing that there's so much more to the world than the sports bubble that we live in. And I feel like that's where real innovation is going to happen when we can just think bigger than what we're already doing. And so I say the music industry because I feel like it's really coming to fold as the best in class example of power shifting to the people and how when independent artists understand technology and then they capitalize on the technology, they're changing the whole model, right? And I feel like there's a lot of interesting things that artists are doing and even platforms that are enabling them from like fractionalized NFTs or how they're thinking creatively about royalties or, you know, using platforms like Sound to release their music as NFTs. That is just reimagining like what the music industry looks like. And it's not a direct map back onto sports. I don't know what the equivalent of an artist having, you know, music royalties is to an athlete, but I just feel like there's a lot of things that you can look at within the music industry and just even understand why that change is happening. It's because this new class of independent artists are being encouraged to learn about technology, and they have a suite of resources that are allowing them to creatively apply that as they want to. And so it's like, how can we get more of that energy back in sports, right? How can we switch it up a little bit from what we're already doing? And so that's why I say the music industry, because I think athletes that dare to think differently about what, Web3 and NFTs means for their brand are the ones that's really going to break through.
Yeah, I think it's interesting. Like, I think the music industry and the royalty model is really interesting. And it's almost like an ISA, an income share agreement for athletes could be really interesting because the upside for that is extremely higher than it is for artists. I don't really know anybody working on that. You probably do, but I think that could be interesting. I'm like curious how they would apply that in future contracts, but I don't know. I'm just like thinking out loud here about what could be done.
No, I'm like, do I know anyone that's working on that? I don't know. But no, I mean, you can start to think of things like that, just examples. What are essentially, I think what's interesting is that this technology, like essentially NFTs are a way for your community to grow alongside of you or invest in you. You're not supposed to say that, but capture the upside of your brand growth. And so, what are the things that you're doing or you're creating that are reflective of that? I think that's the question.
That's actually really dope. If you think about it like this, if there is a income share agreement, you can have your fans buy your NFT or interest in your community, get a piece of your Nike deal. If you launch a training app, they can get a piece of that. If you decide to do like what Micah does, they can get a piece of that. People could even NFT their Ball is Life mixtapes. There's things that people can do.
Ball is light. That
Clay
was
doesn't know this, but our first LP designed everything for Ball's Life. Will, who you met.
he really?
Yeah. Super
Didn't
random.
know
Yeah.
that. That's
You, Kirby,
awesome.
you two will be friends.
Dude,
Well, please introduce me to him after this too.
I really watched hours of Ball's Life in middle school and high school.
And the same. I knew every single basketball player that like ever existed.
Ball's Life mixtape you've ever watched.
What'd you say?
Who's got the best Ball's Life mixtape of all time?
Random, but Seventh Woods. Do you guys remember him?
Yeah. He went to Carolina, right? I remember his was nice.
That was fire. I'm trying
John
to remember.
Walls was nasty, but he was playing against like absolute
Austin Rivers.
Austin Rivers was nasty.
That one was iconic. I
Yeah.
remember. I remember the tape.
Gabe York was some dude that went to Arizona. I was like kind of average player there, but he had a nasty one. I remember spending hours watching all that.
Oh, there's this guy. Oh, Akil Carr. Do you guys remember him?
Yes.
He's from
Yes.
Baltimore.
These are crazy.
So good.
These are crazy. We
Other
need to link.
times.
Yeah, we need to link all these in the pod description.
Right.
Additional reading. Ball's Life website.
Community components. How are you thinking about putting together your community right now? And how are you thinking about layering things to start scaling, like the tools that we use now, types of scheduling, et cetera?
So I always say I feel like there's like levels to community, and I feel like what I don't know if hinders is the right word, or yeah, maybe what hinders athletes from building community is that they think it has to be at the extent of a paid subscription, and they're like, okay, then what do I offer my community? Or nowadays they think it means launching an NFT project right out the gates when I feel one, building a community is actually just even a mindset and how you are building your brand as a creator. I think a lot of it is showing up as a content creator that is accessible and isn't just about one-way conversations, but is really here to engage and hear the voices of those that are listening to them, and really kind of takes that servant leader mindset, I would say, someone that wants to help the people that are listening to them. And I feel showing up with that energy at start is actually what creates a two-way street that I think a lot of great community builders have. And so, for example, I feel that is a way in which I've created my brand up until this point. I use Court to Corporate as a platform to share not just my story, but the stories of other athletes that were also in business with ideas to assets. I kind of use that as a way to start engaging with my community and asking them questions like, what questions do you have about the creator economy and Web3 and things of that sort? And then even things as little now as starting Twitter spaces weekly and having forums where I can bring people together around like a shared value or goal or objective. But I think the second step to that, after you're embracing that mindset and just being available and open and talking to people, is okay, now where do you control your audience? And that's something as little as having your landing page, having your website. So that's where I recommend all creators start. And that's where I've started. And then beyond that is thinking about, okay, then what is the next step in which I can create something that kind of removes you as a creator as a middleman, right? How can you create that forum for people to interact with each other without your doing? And I think there's a whole suite of creator tools that could be used. But actually, one that I'm excited about, and I've like literally had a page set up for so long, I'm like, oh, I can't wait to use this, is Luma. I just feel the UI is beautiful, but I feel they have great tools for creators like myself that are more content driven to really organize and make your consumers feel it's their branded experience. So those are some things that I'm thinking about is like growing the community and just evolving it over time. And then obviously NFTs become a part of that, but not rushing that.
Feel it. Yeah, I think it'd be really interesting for some of the folks on our podcast to check out the different pieces you have. You wrote something about what's his name, Duncan or something, like what's his name on
Duncan
creative?
Robinson. Yeah, I wrote
Yeah.
that
Which
book.
is really cool. I'm not really big on people's names and celebrity names, but ask me
That's
an
so
investor name, I got you,
funny.
but no, like, can you talk a little bit about that really quickly?
About the Duncan piece?
Yeah, like that, I thought that was fascinating.
Thank you. No, I was thinking about one, we'll take a step back. I was like, how do I want to use this platform? I can share my takes, but I feel the changes and has always been driven by storytellers. I feel like, what if I can use this as a platform to share the stories of athletes that are innovating in this space? And so Duncan Robinson, he was the first NBA player to launch a creator token on Rally. And other athletes have launched creator tokens, like Jalen Clark was the first NCAA athlete last September, I think. And he also launched on Rally. But yeah, so with Duncan Robinson, first NBA player, and I thought what was really interesting about him was like how he has built his brand up until this point that has set him up for success for Web3. And I feel when we talk about it that way, it helps more athletes see why this technology is accessible to them, right? Because I feel if you just talk about the creator token, or you just talk about Rally or another tool or what an NFT is, people are like, I get it. Like, we hear about these things every day, but it's how can you share this information in a way that relates back to the reader? And so this piece was essentially, he was the first NBA player. Let's break it down. What is a creator token? What are some ways to think about it? Assessing like how Duncan will use Devo, which is the name of his coin, and how he's gonna start engaging the community. But in the last piece of it, I share what do I think? All that said, what's important here? And essentially the point was that the headlines are that he's the first NBA player to have a token. But what I think is really important is how he's built his brand and why we should all take notes. And essentially the point is that he has taken those steps to turn his audience into a community. So he started a podcast called The Long Shot, which is all about his journey as an underdog player to the NBA. He played D3 basketball, made it to Michigan. Now he's on the Miami Heat as an emerging star. And he started a podcast called The Long Shot. And he started to realize that a lot of his community, like, or his audience at the time, resonated with that message. And he built on that. He acknowledged the insight, acted on it, started creating forums for people to gather on the message, interact with each other. And I think it's that way in which he's built his brand, where Devo is just kind of like an evolution of what he's already been doing in the Web2 world. And I think those are going to be the best executions for athletes in Web3 when it's not this whole new thing and it's just like you're entering the world as this like new production, but more so it's an evolution of building blocks that you've set. And that's something that any athlete can do. Any athlete can understand what their story is, build a community around it, create forums on Twitter, on Discord, on their newsletter to bring people together. And as this technology just becomes what it is, eventually in a couple of years, it's not going to be this novel thing. And, you know, it's just going to be what it is. People will be prepared to integrate it. And so it's like, how can you help people see that this is just kind of where the world's going? And but you can participate too.
Facts. With that, I mean, I know we're running up on time soon. Before we get into rapid fires, anything that you want to ask us? Open question, one. And then two, anything that our community can do to be helpful to you?
Yes, I would love to ask, do you have any advice on community building tips? Because I set up time with Clay like a month ago and I was just starting to like, Clay, help me out. I was like, how did you guys build Confluence? But now as I'm getting started, and maybe with what you've seen, do you have any advice on how to build community with players?
Tyler, you want to go first?
Yeah, I think design everything with virality in mind and also focus on user-generated content. I think that at the end of the day, like me and Clay used to think a lot about the new like winners in this space or curators, which then became like aggregators, filtrators. And then it's like, well, how do you properly do that? So you create a proper engine for creation of quality material. And I think you've already kind of started doing that. And I think some benefits is, or some benefits that you have to your model are like, one, you're leveraging your people's brands. So by having this piece on an NBA player, he may share that to who knows how many followers, which then builds up your readership. And then also asking that person to give you their friends, because that's a new member and their entire audience. And it's effectively just hacking your CAC, which is a marketing term for you that you're like specialized in for sure. That's a big piece. And then start with giving value. From there, I think your tools are already on point and you should just be thinking about monetization, which Clay is an expert on, so go for it.
Money, money, money. I think I would echo
Cash
all
rules everything around Clay.
that. Damn, that's like crack. It's like crack. I'm trying to think. One piece of advice that I would give, like to echo everything else that Tyler said, is just give the first 100 people just a ridiculously good experience and let them be your sales advocates. Like, that's what we did, and just like kind of blew away our first 100 members, did stuff extremely manual. I was onboarding them, welcoming them personally, doing all this stuff. It's just like eating away at my day. But the result of that was that people were just overwhelmed with a good experience and they started referring others. Wow, you guys should check this out, which saved us so much time. We didn't have to do marketing. We got a really cold start problem. And then we're able to focus on other things like scaling in a more efficient manner. But we also, shameless plug here, we packaged up all of our lessons in a playbook that we've started linking in the newsletter. It's just playbooks.confluence.bc for anybody looking for more hot tips from Tyler.
Productize yourself. That's the
Yeah,
name.
it's the goal, right?
Yep.
Yesterday we had a really cool podcast, or recorded a really cool podcast with a friend of ours who runs Built First and like the one of the number one partnerships podcast in the world. And what's really, really cool about what he's saying is like everyone in their personal journeys or like any product they build should be thinking about B2B2B or B2B2C. So another tip for you would be like go partner with all the biggest sports agencies and get distribution through them and start being a strategy consultant for them. And one, that's monetizable, two, that hacks everything, and three, you get to borrow their credibility again. And now people are just inundated with new stuff. So if you can't have someone else who owns trust already and owns the audience, I just don't think you can get the type of scale you want.
Yeah, I love it. Thank you guys. I'm about to play this back and take my notes. I will be taking notes. I could not agree more. On the same page. Yeah, so how can people help? Well, today I ask anyone that is willing to share players with your network of athletes. I really am passionate about reaching athletes first, and then over time it will grow into something that I know will be a resource for the industry. But I think, like you said, getting right to that consumer, right to that Gen Z athlete is who I'm incredibly passionate about reaching. So with universities, athletic departments, or just with athletes you know directly, that is always welcomed. So yeah, and then there will be more to come. You know, we just getting started, right? It's been a month, and I had to catch myself sometimes. I'm like, Kirby, just slow down, because I'm always like, what's next? What's next? But definitely excited about all that's to come and just sharing more resources.
Have you started doing outreach like directly to athletic directors or coaches?
Yeah, so I definitely have been in touch with a lot of them. I just feel like I've made homies on Twitter. But yeah, no, definitely have like shared the resource with them and then can go from there as things get going with them.
Yeah, because I'm just like thinking as you're talking, I feel like that's like B2B to C or like B2B to B channel, like depending on how you're looking at it.
Yeah. I love the B2B2C.
Or
I love
yeah,
that.
or like the NBPA or other players associations, the heads of those, or even the ex heads of them, they tend to be a little bit more accessible.
Yeah, that's
Yeah,
a great idea too.
identify targets, give them something they can't say no to. Boom, sales.
No.
That's that easy.
I
Just kidding,
love
never is.
it.
Well, cool. You want to run through quick fire, Kirby?
Yeah, let's do it.
Cool. Four questions meant to be answered in two sentences or less. First one we've got is, what is a recommendation you hear regularly that you think is bad advice?
Oh, have a plan. And I say that as a planner, but I think sometimes you just have to go with your gut.
Totally agree. Intuition over everything. Have to. In the last year, what new belief, behavior, habit has most improved your life?
Having a consistent morning routine. I know it's corny and in all the Be Your Best Self hack books, but just making time for myself has been the best investment.
What's your morning routine?
Ooh. Wake up, go straight to the gym. Grab my phone, go
Honest
straight to
about
the
it.
gym before I think about going back to sleep. Come back, eat, journal, plan my day, step outside, lock in.
Nice. I used to wake up, work out, and work out first thing. Can't do it anymore. I feel like I just have less energy than breaking up my day and doing it during lunch or later in the day now.
I
But
did try
used to.
doing it midday one time for a period of time and actually liked it. I was like, this is nice. It's a little
Yeah.
break.
I like it, but it just gives too much room for excuses.
Yeah.
True.
True. True. Let's see, next one. What is one piece of advice you give to somebody starting a company?
Don't define what you do to make it make sense for other people. You
Love
know what
that.
you're doing. You know exactly what you're doing, do you, and people will see it all come together when it does.
Yeah, I think it's so funny. And like, I mean, that question pops up always in social situations. What do you do? What do you do
What do
for
you
work?
do? Am I just watched?
Yeah, I hate it. People just use that to filter who they want to talk to.
Oh my gosh. It's actually like, well, not that what do you do is a bad question. If you're listening to this and you've ever asked me that, I'm not. Okay, don't ask me that. But sometimes people do ask that just to like understand your secret sauce. I'm like,
Yeah.
just watch.
Tyler and
Also,
I.
think it's super fair for people to just be, don't count my coins
Yeah.
because I don't want to talk about that right now.
Right.
I feel like
Exactly.
Tyler and I have been asked this. I think we've had this conversation, but we have very different careers than a lot of our friends because we're like 100 different hats and work at multiple different roles when all of them are just very targeted doing one thing. Like I work in finance versus like I work four different jobs and like things. Yeah.
Where
Yeah.
things are going.
I think when you get that question, I just start asking it or answer it as ridiculous as possible. Just throw them off.
Always said build people and like invest in stuff. Like real simple.
Yeah.
That actually is how I answer that question. I don't like if it's just in a public social situation, I don't go into
Especially our
the
snobby friend groups.
I just say like something vague like that. I help athletes in Web3. I don't go into the whole like elevator pitch because sometimes it just doesn't. I'm like, why am I even trying to explain this?
Yeah, 100%. Guess we already kind of touched on this, but last question again, just to reiterate, what is, if you did have one ask for our listeners, what would it be?
Share players with your Gen Z athletes. I'll be specific because I'm a marketer. I think this is a helpful resource for the next generation. So anything for that, I welcome it and please reach out if you have some ideas on how to grow it.
Love it.
Clay always forgets this one, but who do you want to see on the podcast? This is for us by us. So if you have a recommendation or an introduction for another person,
Yeah. I want to see Tona from Harlem Capital.
is that your homie?
That's my girl.
Oh, if you want to see it, put us in an email thread and we'll make it happen.
I got
I'm
you.
being tip for homies. I was on their podcast for Harlem. So
I
anyone
remember
in their
that.
circle. Yeah, anyone in their circle, that's love.
Say less. I will make that intro. Tona is the homie and she's a rising star. So
perfect.
Love it. Well, thank you guys.
Yeah, this is sweet. Appreciate you coming on. And yeah, let us know if there's anything else we can do to be helpful, whether it's like talking through community strategy, up with intros, anything else that we can do.
Definitely. Here's the
resource.
Yeah, no, thank you. Yeah, definitely. We'll be reaching out on the community stuff is like, that's getting going.
Yeah.
Like that'd be
thinking through Miami apartments.
Yeah.
Or scrapping Miami completely.
Yeah.
Literally
going to a different country.
I'm not in a different country yet. Maybe like check in with me in 2 years and maybe I'll change my mind.
Ellen, don't get a permanent spot in Miami. Get a 3 to 6 month lease, feel it out, and then
Get a taste.
Okay. I'm open to that. I appreciate it.
Right.
Well, thank you guys. It was good to see you both. But yeah, let me know if you need anything for this, like headshots or anything.
Cool. We'll clean up this audio. We'll shoot it back over you. We'll share the link just in the script. And then we'll wait to push anything out. We'll get final approval from you before we shoot anything out.
Awesome. Perfect. Sounds good. Yep. And thank you again for being flexible.
100%. Hundo P. Awesome.
All right. Talk soon.
Well, later, Kirby. Shout out Kirby. Thanks again for coming on. Hope that each of you were able to pick up something valuable from this talk. If you're looking to get in touch with Kirby, we've linked her social info in the description below. And to find out more about New Game Labs, you can just search their website, which is also included in that description. For next steps, if each of you have not submitted your info to become a member yet, you can do that through our website at www.confluence.vc. And also, if you want to become a subscriber to the newsletter, we offer a ton of free resources in there each and every week meant to help you become better at your individual roles. You can subscribe there at www.confluence.substack.com. Hope that helps. Hope to hear from y'all soon.